I've been trying to exhort our people, encourage, enthuse. If you can't get enthused by what God's done for us, there's something wrong. Really. And it ought to ever be so. It ought to never wear off. The enthusiasm for the love that God has given us and had for us when we were unlovable and all of the things. And we just want to praise the Lord today, and we're going to preach an old message, probably with some new twists, but we're living in difficult times, we say, you know. I bet if I were, I shouldn't even say that. That just comes naturally, you know, when I say I bet. But I'm sure that people, I'm sure Noah thought he was living in tough times. Old Jeremiah, he was living in tough times. And I don't know if we got it any tougher because we've got all the modern conveniences, and oh, this is a glorious building that God has given you. And isn't it wonderful to be able to come and sit in air-conditioned and padded pews and in very much comfort, and then we'd go home and complain about how tired we are, you know. But we do get weary spiritually. And I've preached a couple times in the last month about, do you need a miracle? There's nothing wrong with miracles. Boy, I tell you, I started with a miracle, and the Lord reached down and He saved this old sinner. He lifted me up and He placed my feet upon that solid rock. Amen. If you haven't started with a miracle, you need one today. Absolutely. I started to say, come up here, John said, William Lowell. I was Lowell most of my young life until I got out to in the Army and things like that, you know. But almost everybody of our relatives and friends that knew me years ago still call me Lowell. And there's nothing wrong with that. I don't mind that name at all. But my mother didn't like William, so I think there was an old reprobate down the line somewhere by the name of William that she didn't like. But anyway, we do need miracles. Our God is able. Whenever we get to the place where we don't believe our God is able to give us miracles, then we're in sad shape. But I believe that He is. I believe that He does. I believe that He will. Then I think of the glorious privilege that He's given us as a child of God to come boldly to the throne of grace. I told our people not too long ago, and they're nothing new, but prayer is an invitation to miracles. It really is. The Lord said, come boldly. You have not because you ask not. Amen. He said He's able to do exceeding above that which we ask or think. Oh, ought we not to expand our expectations of Almighty God? Not of ourselves, but of Him, because He's able. And He will do everything that He said. I preached last week, I think it was, old Peter out there and the disciples in the ship, and Jesus come walking across on the water. You ever walked on the water? I have about 3 or 4 times since I've been here. I just lifted up so high, I thought I could just go across here and never only touch ground about every third step. I tell you that I'll rise again. It always does something to me. And because He's risen, we have a hope of being with Him one day. So we need miracles. There's nothing wrong with walking on water. Peter said, let me do that. The Lord let him do it. All he did was ask him, wasn't it? He said, let me do that, Lord. He said, come on. The only thing wrong with it was he took his eyes off the Lord. Amen. And that's what we've been talking about. I believe almost every message has been in that. People taking their eyes off the Lord, and you can't do anything without Him. Amen, no success. There's no worship. There's no praise. There's no honor and glory. Amen.
separate and apart, it's to the Lord God Almighty through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He blesses, He saves, He keeps, and we're going to enlarge on that just a little bit, if at all possible. We believe, certainly, a church is only as strong as its present pastor. We used to talk about the good old days, you know. You can't go back to the good old days, and I've preached that once here, you know, about we're the now generation. Yeah, we don't look back. We're living right now, and right now is when the Lord expects us to live godly for Christ Jesus in this present evil world. So as we look about these things, responsibility, accountability, and all of those things come upon us. We're it. And I preach, and I do believe this, and I pray for this. But if every person in this church turned away from the Lord, but you're still responsible for every word in this book. Doesn't matter how many turn away. And the Lord said many are going to depart the faith. He said evil men and seducers are going to wax worse and worse. Well, did He mean it or not? He absolutely did. He said they're going to be turned from the truth to fables. But that does not lessen your or my accountability to God. We're just as responsible as if everybody was faithful that has ever been. And so as we look at these things, standing for the truth does not change. And we are responsible to only one person, that's to God. And I believe when you're responsible to God, yes, you're responsible to your church and your pastor and your brothers and sisters in Christ, and you're responsible to live godly before your neighbors and on. And you can go on and on with that, but we're first and foremost responsible to God, and that will never change. Regardless of who fails you or who we fail, that still will never change. So as we look at this, it'll never change regardless of who your pastor is or what your pastor is. I was thinking today, and it just come upon me, but not in my notes or anything, but people say, well, we've been taught that for years, but our pastor now says it's all right. That didn't change with the pastor you got now. If the Word of God ever said to do anything, it still says it. Because He's immutable, He doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, that may be, you may say, well, that's looking on the responsible side. I want you to look with me for a few minutes this afternoon on the glorious side, the wondrous side. Because everything that Jesus Christ wants for you and me, He has already obtained. He said, it's finished. Yeah, it's finished. There ain't nothing you and I got to do for salvation. And everything that He wants you and I to do, He's put in place to us the ability to do it. I'll show you a few of those things in a minute. Brother Jones was preaching, I thought, it's hard for us to feel sorry for Lot and his children. In the final days of Lot, his children were only doing what they learned over there in Sodom and Gomorrah. They had no other influence, so what would be expected of them? And so that's why there is much expected of you and I today. Bring our children up in the way. I've often thought about that. You know, some people think of that and they think, well, that's a certain straight, strict standard of living, but I believe the way is the Lord Jesus Christ. He said He was. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. And we're to bring them up in the Lord Jesus Christ, the fear and admonition of the Lord. We think a lot about, you know, what has happened to us and over the years and how long we've been saved and how long we've been married and all that. And I think probably I've mentioned that here before. But longevity is nothing to brag about. It's just something to praise God for. Because He's been so good to us. The older I get. Come out to the car this morning. And my wife is very loving and supportive of me. come out to the car this morning and I looked in the mirror and I looked. Rough skin under here, getting hard to shave, you know, and it gets raw and all that. And you know, I told her, I said, I'm getting an old geezer's neck. And you know what she said? She said, what'd you expect? Now, I don't know, you know, but she really is. She really is loving. I don't know what I'd do without her. Now, I got to smooth this over, you know that. But anyway, no, really. In about a year and a half, we'll be married 50 years. And that's the grace of God. If you have your Bibles this afternoon, turn with me to Psalm 72 and verse 18. You know, people of this world, just as we will disappoint people, people will disappoint us. We need to get our eyes off of people and get our eyes on the Lord and use Him as the example for ourselves. We've all heard these things. They're nothing new, but you know, you talk to people and say, well, I'm just as good as so-and-so over there. But the measure is Jesus Christ. He's the one that we're going to stand before one day and give an account. And if you're not, or if your righteousness is not better than His, you're in deep trouble. But my righteousness is His. Isn't that great? He suffered and bled and died that God would look at me through His righteousness. So as we look at this, Psalm 72 and the 18th portion of it, and I'm one psalm too far. I want you to think of these things with me and just rejoice in them and praise God for them. And you young people that are here, don't look for any magic formulas or anything, you know, to get through life with or to serve God with. It's the same for you as it is for us. It's the same for any age. It doesn't make any difference. But God is the difference. And that's what we want you to see tonight, this afternoon, and rejoice with us in. In verse 18 it said, blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. I got to preaching about a month at our church, and about everything I'd say had come out, I'd have to say, isn't that, that's fantastic, to where they got to kind of making fun of me over it, you know. But it really is. Everything that God does is fantastic as far as you and I are concerned in the world. He doesn't do ordinary things. No, He's God. He doesn't do things that we expect. And we don't order Him around. He's God. Oh, I turn on TV and I told our people this, and of course, we're happy to have the Morgans here with us. They won't. Some of this won't be new because I preach this all the time. But we see these jokers on television, and I watch them for about 2 or 3 minutes, that's about as long as I can endure, demanding and commanding God. I told our people a week or so ago, I saw this one guy standing up here, and he's really exalting himself. He's somebody down the stage about 30 feet, and he's going to throw the Holy Spirit at him and knock him off the stage. Now, isn't that the most ridiculous thing that you ever heard of in your life? Take the God, the Holy Spirit in your hands and throw them at somebody so that they can be struck in the Spirit, or what do they call it? But anyway, slain in the Spirit, yeah. That's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard of. God doesn't want us to be slain. He wants us to live in the Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, it's 5, he says, the love of Christ constraineth me. And then he goes on, he said, we thus judge that if Christ died for all, then we're all dead. Well, he's already told us that, didn't he? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And wages of sin is death and all that. But then he comes about and he says, this is also his judgment. He says that they which live, that's supposed to be us. We say we're anybody that says they're alive in Christ, been born again, they which live should henceforth no longer live unto themselves, but unto him who died for them and gave himself for them. Isn't that wonderful? We think about that. We could just go on there. The list is almost endless that we could write these things down that God has done and provided for his people. And they're all wondrous because they're things that you and I absolutely must have to live the Christian life, because we can't do it ourselves. Even after we're born again, without him we can do nothing. But with him, we can do everything he asks us to. Because to them gives he power, I believe, to live, to manifest, to magnify his precious name. Go back over to Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 3 says much of the same thing. It said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. Isn't that wonderful? You know, when you read this book, he's not talking about some theoretical people. He's talking about us. He's talking about you and me. He blesses us. He empowers us. He enables us to do his will, that we might magnify him before a lost and dying world, that people around about us might know. It hasn't changed any. That they might know that there is a God in heaven and he still rules and reigns. He's still able to do as he pleases anywhere he wants to. You talk about sovereign, that's sovereign because he's God. Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now turn back with me to Psalms 40. Talking about wondrous things. I thrill every time I read the account of Lazarus and the Lord Jesus Christ. I was just reading another one where the leper came to him, you know, and he touched him. He said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. He can. And he said, I will, be thou clean. He come over to the tomb of Lazarus, you know, and they said, Lord, you're too late. He's never too late. He always gets there when he wants to, how he wants to do what he wants to us. Isn't that wonderful? Blessed us. In Psalms 40, I've quoted a portion of this at the beginning, but he said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit. You're saved today, and you ever forget that he brought you up out of a horrible pit. You know, there might be those in our midst that say, well, the Lord's really blessing my life. I've got money, and I've got this, and I've got that. And over there, you know, in Timothy, where it says that the supposing gain is godliness. Where'd the rich man end up? Fared sumptuously every day of his life. But he died. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. That's not a fairy tale. That's real. And if anybody thinks that ought to know it's real, it ought to be us. Because that's where he brought us up out of. There's nothing any more real than having the realization of what you were and where you could have been.
But living in the hope that we have now, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. I love John 14. He says, let not your heart be troubled.
Amen.
There's a lot of troubled hearts in the world today. There are a lot of troubled hearts among God's people. But they're not supposed to be, because God doesn't intend for them to be. He says, rejoice. And again I say rejoice.
Yes.
Enthusiasm. We ought to come to church walking on air, that people might see that it's the most glorious thing in the world.
Amen.
I've been saved from the condemnation of everlasting hell.
Yes.
By a loving Savior that loved me so much that He went to Calvary's cross and He laid His life down. He wasn't murdered and they didn't take His life from Him. He said, I lay it down.
Amen.
That you might have life. And then, just a little further there, that we let off on a whole lot, but He said, I bet you might have it more abundantly. More abundantly. That means we can get more. It gets so good sometimes you wonder how you can get more, but it's more. There's more out there. So look, let's read this real quickly. Also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Is that part of the purpose? Part of the purpose of our salvation is people seeing us. And how happy that He has made us. Oh, it's a shame. It really, it's a shame and it's a sin for God's people to go around with a long face and look at what I got to give up to be a child of God.
That's right, brother. That's right. Amen.
When it don't even compare, Romans 8:18 says it doesn't even compare to the glory that's going to be revealed in us.
Amen, brother. Amen.
Wonderful. Look on down with me. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust,
yes,
and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are the wonderful works which Thou hast done. Many. We don't have time to turn to all these scriptures, but listen. The last verse of the book of John says that if everything Jesus had done had been written down, this world couldn't contain the volumes. Isn't that something? And you know what? Every one of us is a story. Everyone that knows the Lord is a story that could be written down.
Amen.
Oh, what stories we could tell, you know.
That's right.
But the only story is the greatest story ever told, of Jesus. Jesus, the love of God manifested in the flesh and laid down on Calvary's cross. That's what it means to be at Calvary. Yeah? It don't mean that you've visited that place, but it means that you've been there and seen Him suffering and bleeding and dying for your sin. Out of this world. Wondrous things. I want to just, in a few minutes, mention five or six of these things, and we won't be able to really touch them like we'd like to, but there's a message in each one of these things. We pray it'll be a blessing to you, encouragement, comfort, strength. I told our people last week that we've got a dear lady, Wanda Jones, very ill. We really don't know if she's going to live or die. We love her. She loves the Lord. And as I sat by her bed, I feel so helpless sometimes. I wish I could just reach out and heal her. I really do. But the Lord says we live by faith. We know one thing. Whatever happens, it's going to be His will. It's going to be right. And we'll accept it and we'll praise God in it. But we ask you to pray for her. But isn't it wonderful to know the one that can? Yeah, I can't do a lot of things, but I know a man that can. As we think about this tonight, this afternoon, you know, we get all caught up in these things sometimes. And we hear young girls talking about maybe a good-looking young fella, and they say, "Oh, he's so cool. He's just simply out of this world," you know. And we do the same thing. You know, we go to a restaurant or something that's really great. We say, "Oh, the food there is just out of this world." But really, it isn't. It's just, you know, it's just ordinary stuff. But we were maybe impressed with it or something. But I tell you one thing that is out of this world, and that's him. Yeah. The sacrifice that God provided was not of this world. Sin is of this world, and the condemnation of sin because of disobedience and all that. But the sacrifice of God, that lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world for your sins and mine, not of this world. Not of this world. Isn't that great? That's great. All he does is wonderful.
Amen.
Fantastic. Really is. Let's look at a few of these things now. Naturally, I started to say at the beginning, my name is William Titus. I have a BA, a DD, COG, a PhD. I've got all those things. First one I got was the BA. I was born again. Jesus said, "You must be born again. You're not going to have anything. You're not going to be able to share any of these joys and blessings and hopes or anything unless you're born again." He says, "You must be born again." So as you think about, and I'm not knocking education. I've got about 3 years of college all told, I guess, and 50 years of on-the-job training. And I'll tell you what. That on-the-job training impresses you. Yeah, we make mistakes, certainly. Everybody that's preached at this conference has mentioned that. Certainly, we make mistakes. We don't want to get too far from the fence because we might want to jump back on, you know, and straddle it. So a lot of times we limp along the fence and we don't. But you know who it hurts the most? Us. We're the ones that are denying ourselves of the blessings and the thrills and the joys of serving an almighty God. The salvation that God offers is out of this world. I mean, I don't care how you look at it. It's absolutely out of this world.
Amen.
It's wonderful. It does the job. I stood condemned tonight, but Jesus took my place. And he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest." I can't give you any rest, but I can point you to the one that can. I can tell you about the one that did. I can tell you about the one that will, because he said, "Whoso anybody that comes unto me, I will in no wise cast out. And all that the Father giveth me shall come unto me." And that's we take that as also a joy. We know that. The preaching of the gospel will not be in vain. So the salvation that he offers, sin is of the world, wages of sin is death, and so on. Hebrews tells us, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. But I thrill to read over there, it says, we're not redeemed with such things as the blood of bulls and goats, but with the precious blood of Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? Precious blood of Jesus of salvation. You've already surmised, I suppose, that the sacrifice for that salvation is not of this world. God so loved us, he sent his own Son from heaven's glory, the eternal Son of God, in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning. So anyway, Jesus Christ, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, only God so loved that he gave his only begotten Son. Ephesians chapter 2, I like to read that. If that doesn't thrill you, somebody said you're not thrillable. You hath he quickened who are dead. What that means? You're dead.
You hath he quickened who were dead. That means you'd already received the wages of sin. The wages of sin is death. John chapter 3, again, we like John 3:16, but it also says, he that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because they're dead. They're dead. They have not believed. A lot of people add to and take away from this precious book. You can't add to perfection. You better not take away from perfection either. He's done it all. Second thing, and I've just got these lists down. This may not be in the greatest order, but nevertheless, we just look at these one at a time very quickly now. The Holy Spirit and His work are simply out of this world. You know, I feel sorry for people that are trusting to luck. My name was written down. Counts the halls of eternity. That book is going to be opened one day. Whosoever's name is not written down in the Lamb Book of Life don't have any right to heaven. So, the Holy Spirit and His work are simply out of this world. I believe it's God on earth working in people's hearts, convicting of sin, causing the Word to be preached, giving us the strength to be faithful, the faith to be faithful with. Any way you want to put it, God gives it to us, and He convicts, and godly sorrow worketh repentance. Just, I hope you catch those connections. Godly sorrow worketh repentance, not my sorrow, or, oh, I'm so sorry I did this. Godly sorrow will work repentance, and it'll be true repentance. Amen. And it'll be repentance unto salvation with faith out of this world. It always points us to Christ. And there is nothing that God ever leads in or ever causes or leads you in to be contrary to His Word. Just absolutely will not happen. So if we look at this, just a couple more things here. And there are multitudes of scriptures we just don't have time for, but this book, out of this world, isn't it wonders? Out of this world! It's not written by men. It's not Paul was an old woman hater, you know, and male chauvinist or anything. But holy God wrote this book from beginning to end. Amen. And He put in it what He wants you and I to know. And what He expects you and I to do. And what He expects us to believe. And yes, how He expects us to live. Right now. The Word of God is not of this world. Isn't it great to know that? It's not man's mythical dreaming up stuff, you know. And it's not of man's reasoning. There's a lot of alternatives in this world that is of man's reasoning. But this book isn't. Holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And that's the only kind of church I want to be a member of. Where that same thing keeps happening. Because God said... And a lot of people don't like this, you know. But you pastors, you're gifts of God. And He's changed us completely. He said, I'll give you pastors after my own heart. Puts His desires within us. He said, preach the Word. Be instant in season and out of season. Well, anyway, preach the Word. And I mentioned this before, but I'll mention it again because it's so wonderful. Prayer. Where would the world would we be without prayer? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Oh, how often are we laboring and heavy laden? Burdens of sin, the burdens of people, the burdens of our world. Bring your cares to Jesus. Cast in all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. The joy. I like this. You know, a lot of people, and it's true, a lot of people come to church looking for the thrill of the flesh. The joy of serving the Lord and being a child of God is not of this world. And a lot of it's not going to appeal to this flesh. A lot of it's just going to stomp all over us. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's going to work on you once in a while. It ought to work on us more than it does. Because that's how He accomplishes His purpose in our lives and makes us conform to His image and makes us do that which is pleasing unto Him instead of ourselves. He works on us. The joy of serving Him is out of this world. Oh, I'd like to go on a little bit on that. But anyway, I mentioned John 14 already. But our heavenly home is not of this world either.
Amen, brother.
I'll never forget, and I thought it was... I've witnessed this two or three times before in my life. But you that were at Brother Mitchell Smith's funeral, and I miss him today. But you that were at his funeral heard his son tell about he was at his bedside. And he, just before he died, he looked out and he said, "Look at this. Isn't that beautiful?" And he said, "What?" He said, "That mansion, it's mine." And he said, "Well, how do you know it's yours?" He says, "My name's on it." Isn't that wonderful? Our heavenly home's not of this world. One day, brother, and I say, and I really think I do, I won't be living when Jesus comes. I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with that, is there? I want to be living when Jesus comes. Wouldn't that be fantastic, wouldn't it? Woo! Just to be transformed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, and be caught up together in the air to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. Then forever shall we be with Him. Our rewards are not of this world either, and I won't have time to get on that, but listen. Suffering of this present time not worthy to be compared to the joys that's going to be ours. That is ours now. He said He never put more on us than we're able to bear. And nobody else promised you that. He said He'd never leave you nor forsake you. Wonderful. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Brother Donald.